want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be with you all again this morning. I want to open our Bibles to John, the book of John, chapter 1. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy to us. Thank you, Father, for all that you do for us. Help us to be faithful to you and bring glory to you. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Lord, we just ask you to give us wisdom again and fill us with your Spirit. Amen. All right. Book of John. I'll just begin in the first verse here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'll just stop here for just a minute and just take that in. You know, we talk about the Word of God, the written Word of God, and we, you know, there's a lot of people put that on a shelf, reverence it, you know, and really keep it in a high regard, which is nothing wrong with respecting it for what it is. But the Word of God, the written Word, the goal of the Word is to point us to the Word, the living Word. You know, it's easy for us to be religious and find things that are in the Bible and just make them our goal to fulfill all of them. But the heart of it needs to be around the Word. And when we're talking about the Word, we're talking about Christ. And in this verse it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, a lot of times we forget that Christ was our Creator. You know, the song that Floyd wrote about, you know, is just kind of a read to us this morning, and we sang earlier. That, you know, we could take that song and just try to fulfill every line of that song and still miss. You know, the heart of that song is someone that's devoted to Christ. Not just trying to check off all the boxes or not trying to... Sometimes there is a desire to find Christ, and so I've got to do all those things. But the heart of that song that makes it so wonderful is that here's a man that's in love with the Word and presenting himself, not just trying to do all those things so he is acceptable, but here's someone that's presenting themselves to that capacity because they love the Word. They love the Christ. You know, it's so easy for us to... I wrote down a song or a little thought this week that we can be absolutely right and dead wrong. You know, there's people that could just devote their lives to having that kind of life and dedicate their lives to that extent and still miss it because the purpose of that song, that that thought is because they love the Creator. And that's why they do that. That's why they're offering themselves, not just trying to do all those things so that they'll be accepted by Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, whenever you think of that, the Word created all things. You know, we look out at the world and we see all kinds of things. We see the beauty. We see the bad sometimes. But Christ is in all of it. He began it all. He started it all. He's the foundation of it all. He created it all. And everything revolves around Him. And so when we look out there, and even we see the hard times and the bad things sometimes going on, it's because things have been perverted. But whenever we look, we can still see Christ in every little thing. Not just a religious semblance or a religious experience or something, but there He is. Oftentimes He's just overlooked. The beauty. We can admire the beauty and overlook the Creator. One thing that Brother Floyd brought out was sometimes we get caught up in life. Well, my thought is life is Christ. And sometimes we want to separate those times. You know, we just want to be, we pray and, oh, this is when we're close to God. But the reality is living life is when we're close to God, whenever He's the center of it. There's no need for it to take over or overwhelm us. Living life is Christ. He lived life when He was here. Just some thoughts about things like that. It's just really neat. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through Him. And apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The whole world is an expression of Him. It's life and every part of it. And I think a lot of times one of the things we mess up is whenever we separate our religious life from our real life. That's what religion does. But whenever He is our all in all, He's just part of being busy sometimes. He's part of having that pressure sometimes. It's who we are. And I think that's one thing it's trying to tell us. A Christian is just someone who is. All this that was created by Him, everything is what we're in. We are a part of that. And whenever we can just make that a part of our life, I think we're getting somewhere. A lot of times we want to be religious, or we put our emphasis on our performance, but it's being in Him. You know, a lot of religions talk about being at one with the world or with nature or with and they're onto something there. Like I've said, almost every religion has its foundation from someone just getting a hold of God. And they've gone all different ways, and maybe it's been perverted all along the way, but at the heart of it, God is in the center of it. They've got a hold of something that the rest of the world didn't see, and just becomes a religion a lot of times. But I mean, even the Indians and they had the Great Spirit. They knew there was something there. And they were trying to be in tune with that in their world, you know, just in nature with all the things that are around. You know, they did their best, I think, a lot of them. But they were maybe more in tune with the God of the universe, the God of the Creator, than the most sophisticated Christians of the day who could quote the Bible back and forth. What I'm trying to say is our lives, the way we live, that is who we are, and it's all entwined. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness, the light shines in darkness, and there we go to that, you know, the light can shine in darkness, and people don't understand it, so they make a religion out of it, because that's understandable, instead of letting God be God. I had a couple of thoughts that during the week, one of them was kind of relating to the message last week. One of the things that I didn't maybe emphasize quite enough about last week is in the early Christians and the writings, one of the biggest things you see when you start looking at the early Christians was how undogmatic they were. You know, they would see things that they ought to and try to live them and put them into practice, but they didn't become dogmatic about it. They saw Christ, and they didn't take themselves too seriously. They saw the Christ. And it's so easy for us to see something that even they said and just make it a dogmatic religion out of it. And we don't. That's not their spirit. Christ was trying to point us to Him. I think if one thing, you know, if we can have the laws of Christ and not have the Spirit of Christ. He is the Creator of all things. You know, the Bible talks about having the Spirit of God and that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, mercy, temperance. And we can strive to have all those things, or we can just be those things. And that's where we separate religion from us again. But love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, temperance, mercy, all those things. That's the Spirit. And if we don't have the Spirit of God with those things as the fruit of that Spirit, we don't have anything. You know, we're all different. You know, just some people can be brilliant in one thing and absolutely stupid in another. I mean, people can just maybe do the math problems and just go on and on and on and just be a genius in math, but common sense comes along and they don't even know to tie their shoes to keep from tripping. I mean, we're all different. And we're all part of that. And I think a lot of it is to get back to the foundation that Christ created all things. You know, it doesn't matter how different we may be, and we are different. I mean, you know, we think of those things, well, we're different in color sometimes. We're different in cultures sometimes. We're different, and there's nothing wrong with realizing we're all different. But yet we're all part of the same. You know, there's groups of people that just are completely backwards on things. And there's some that really think they're above everything in things. But we're all still part of the same thing. You know, today if we make a distinction between someone, well, you're a racist. You know, they're trying to mesh us all. The heart of what they're trying to say is we're all one. But if we don't acknowledge the vastness and all the differences, we can't even get to that in reality. It's like the law trying to, you know, trying to get right by being wrong. And you can't do that. The light that shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, another note I wrote just during the week, it says, it was just the thought was, getting past Christianity to find Christ. And that's a chore. That's a chore. You know, I think it was Gandhi that said he would be a Christian except for the Christians. If it wasn't for the Christians, he would be a Christian. And that's part of what I'm trying to, the thought is, you know, it's sad that whenever people see Christianity, they've got a lot of flavors to look through. And while they have a foundation or a thought of Christ in it, I just really wonder how much Christ is actually in it. Like I said, if it doesn't have, we can have all the groundwork of absolutely true and be absolutely dead wrong. Because if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, we don't have anything. I call it untangling. You know, whenever I began to really seek God and what His will is and His truth and His life, you see this religion or this church and they're really doing this and they're really doing that. And you get there and, well, you're disappointed because there's just not much there. And so what I've called it or talked about is just untangling all of the mess that Christianity has tangled up, this big ball of yarn that's all in knots a thousand different directions, and trying to get to Christ and nothing else. You know, it can go get all tangled up. I tell the boys whenever I load a trailer and they take it to the job and undo it, and then they have the scraps and the stuff and they put all the stuff back on a trailer and they'll use the ratchet straps and then they'll tie the craziest knots you ever seen. And then it rains on it a little bit, and so in the morning, I spend a lot of time in a cold morning trying to untangle all of these knots and figure out, because I don't want the cord flapping around. But that's the way Christianity is a lot of times. What I do, I just take it all up, wad it up, put it right underneath the board and tighten it all up, and it's all right there. It doesn't look too pretty sometimes, but it's all confined to the knot. There's no knot. You untangle it, and it just all falls apart. But we spend so much time just tangling up all these knots to make it all, and it just makes it more confusing. And that's Christianity. Instead of just putting it all under in a place and letting it be, we got to tangle it all up. And then the next person comes along, has to untangle that before they can even get to Christ. I'm going to go over here to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That is probably one of the neatest verses in the Bible. You know, it explained who the Word was. He was in the beginning. He was created all things. He was with God. He was God. There's a lot of religions that say Jesus was, you know, they something other than God. I don't know, just God's creation, God's Son, putting Him in a lower place or a different place. But He was our Creator. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Creator became a man and lived with us. I mean, if we could just, these things like this, if we could just realize these simple little things, you know, we look over them because that didn't really, you know, that's sometimes we don't think that doesn't affect my life. But it should, to the very core. He came, our Creator came, and became one of us. And lived His life right. He had a job. He had to provide for His family. He had to do all those things. And it wasn't separate from religion. It was Him. And how He dealt with real people. How He dealt with people with problems. How He dealt with the men who forsook all to follow Him. And then in His night of trouble, all forsook Him. And how He dealt with all of them. He wasn't a strict leader. He was trying to teach them how to trust Him. That He was good. That He was God. No matter what situation came along. You know, a lot of times we think we've got this idea of faith. That we never doubt or we never question anything. Because if God said it, I believe it. And that settles it. That's not what faith is. Faith is more like courage. See, courage, you know, we think of courage as someone just being strong and going right out there. About everybody I've ever known that was courageous was inside, they were scared to death. But they knew they had to do something, and so they just did it. And that's the way faith is. Faith is not doubting all these things in our mind. Faith is having these doubts and still just doing what we know we have to do anyway. Like courage. You know, we tell the story about this man was a knight or something, I guess he was a famous preacher, and everybody thought he was just bold, and they were just admiring his boldness. And he told someone, he said, you know, if they could feel my knees shaking, they wouldn't think the same thing they're thinking about me. Because it took real courage, and that courage is facing our fears that are real, that would overwhelm us, that would knock us down if we let them, but facing them and going right through them. And that's where faith is the same. Because all around us, we're tempted to get caught up in religion. We're tempted to get caught up in dividing our religious time with, and instead, we just need to pursue, to press on with the one who became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. The glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. You know, He had the truth, but He was full of grace, and it's listed first. And truth. And I kin that grace with His Spirit. Patience. Long-suffering. His gentleness. His kindness. His meekness. His temperance. Because if you don't have those and you just have truth, you have absolutely nothing. Nothing. I want to encourage us to just keep those things in mind. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, if we would think of, if a man would have all that power that God had and then he came onto the earth, you know what would happen? We would have one tyrant ruling us. And that's not what God, that's not the way God did it. He came as the lowest of us to a group of people that was hated by the world and then was hated by the leaders of that group of people. And yet, He still could say, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. You know, if we would just work on our grace and patience with others that fail us, you know, we get upset, we get mad, we get angry when they fail us. We take it out and we lash out at them. Grace and truth is able to put ourselves in the place of those who fail us. And look upon them with kindness and gentleness. Hoping, you know, we don't want anybody to fail, but giving them the grace to fail. Giving them the time and the patience to fail. So that they might learn how to trust in that one who created all things. All by themselves. Anyway, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Don't do anything but keep those thoughts in our mind and see the result of that as we look at all creation. He who created all things, He's in all of it. And there's good in the bad. And He gave us that choice, that will, so that evil entered into the world and men with that ability and that power have the opportunity to do evil. And that just gives us the opportunity to do good. You know, it doesn't matter how our lot in life, how bad it may appear or how bad it may seem, we can still. You know, a lot of times those things that seem so hard to us are the things that we really need to work on. And if we'll allow God to work on us in those hard times and see Christ and to be more like Him, He's trying to make us more like Him so we'll belong to Him. So a lot, like I said, a lot of times those things that seem so difficult and so long, and like there's never going to be an end to it, cling to those things. Because that's what's going to make us better. Everything that happens to us in life will either make us bitter or better. Let them lead us to Christ. I mean, we want a nice rosy thing in front of us, but God knows we don't need that. God knows we need the things that He puts in front of us, so that we can see Him. May the Lord have His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share?
What did Peter say? Peter Hoover says, I greatly appreciate the focus on the Word. The Spirit of God being the Word, Creator living with us. Even like among the early Indians who had a better grasp of the Great Spirit than what many religions do now. No separation between created things. Just what I've been thinking for years and years. Thanks for putting it together well. I like the focus on grace and truth.
Praise the Lord.
I was just reading this 2.5-inch thick book titled The Earth is the Lord's. It's a history of Anabaptists. It starts out with the last Anabaptist that was deliberately put to death in right outside of Zurich, Switzerland, right within sight of where 70-some years earlier, Felix Mons had been put to death and were drowned. This Hans Landis was the last Anabaptist who was, like I said, literally put to death. Others later were died in prison or something like that. But he was just, number of times he was jailed before, and he and a bunch of other of his brethren, the Swiss brethren, they were jailed. His favorite response to the pastors or preachers, they call them the Reformed, Zwingli's pastors or preachers who would be so hard against them. The favorite response of his was, "The earth is the Lord's." When he was sentenced to galley slavery, he and two other men, and they were taken miles and miles away to the Mediterranean Sea. On the way, they escaped and came back. But he, when he was sentenced, he just looked at him and said, "The earth is the Lord's." It's just so much bigger than you. Right. And we want to be in tune with Him. You know, and it was just, so simple and
courteous. Praise the Lord.
This message reminded me of the Brother Lawrence, you know, when he was asked what he'd do if he knew he only had a day to live. He was at the time in his garden. He says, "Well, I would finish what I'm doing here in the garden." Mm-hmm. Because he saw that as his life, the Lord, is what he was doing.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, Lord willing, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening. God bless you. God be with you until we meet again. Mark, peace.